Welcome. Let's talk about politics and governance. The European Union helps countries recover from setbacks with a special fund called Recovery and Resilience Facility. But the National Recovery and Resilience Facility plans must prioritize green goals like clean energy. Mathilde Cheron, my speaker today, suggests that this approach gets everyone working better together, especially towards green goals. So as Mathilde will show us, the Recovery and Resilience Facility might be a new way for the European Union to work together and recover in a way that benefits the environment too. Rodrigo Silva, as always, let's talk about politics and governance. Mathilde, welcome to our episode.
Thank you so much for having me. I am very happy to discuss this with you today.
Sure. So Mathilde, let's start. What prompted you to explore the Recovery and Resilience Facility and, well, its coordination with member states?
Thank you for this question. To me, this is a very fascinating topic because on one end, I've worked on EU economic governance since my PhD, but also specifically because of the governance innovation and the large scale of resources that are mobilized by the Recovery and Resilience Facility and the national plans that are supported by it. And in this, there is a specific dimension that caught my interest, which is economic coordination, as this has been a challenge for EU economic governance so far. And this begs the question of the extent to which could improve on this through the DEF.
All right, so let's jump into the most important findings, or the most important conclusions of your study.
So the way I try to see if we can see some at least preliminary evidence of improved economic coordination in the national recovery and resilience plans is by comparing priorities across the plans, the national policy and political agenda through party manifestos of the government that submitted the plans, and country-specific recommendations that are those reform priorities that are set forth by the European Commission for the member states. And as you mentioned, leveraging the priorities, the policy priorities across the plans that are the referred to the green domain, the digital domain, and the social domain, I can look at the extent to which the ranking of prioritization and the saliencies of this topic are correlated predominantly with national priorities or to an extent with the country-specific recommendations. And what I find is that while countries in their national in the party manifestos prioritize in general social priorities over greens, followed by digital, and the CSRs are mixed as normal, as countries are different in terms of their reform needs, we see two models in the NRRPs, one that does put social priorities first or as the most prevalent, followed by green, but another very interesting model shows that the space given to green topics is actually the largest one, followed by social priorities. And what is quite interesting is that countries, that there is a correlation between the share of CSRs the country received and the extent to which they do display this model of prioritizing the green dimension over in a way or together with social priorities in their plans.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that, let's follow up on the policy section. So you mentioned this green angle between social and digital. So let us know more about policy implications of this.
I mean, the first implication is that in a way we can see that this new innovation in terms of governance of pairing in resources and support for investment and reforms that brings together funding for this agenda and conditionality has been successful in greening the recovery. And that means that in terms of economic coordination, this may not necessarily apply to all policy areas in the same way. And then the green area, as was mentioned before, is some that has received quite a lot of attention also beyond the RRF. Is indeed a possibility that can be done quite effectively with this framework, meaning that this could be a lesson learned different in a way from the pandemic and the very time pressure response that we put forward in the pandemic and inform our economic coordination beyond this time of crisis.
Mm-hmm. I read your article and, well, the study, if I'm not mistaken, it analyzes plans, not actual implementation. So should future research focus on implementation now or some other areas?
This is indeed a very important point. Tried to define what I do in the article as assessing the recovery agendas in a way. So this more generally would be indeed looking at the policy agenda stage and not the implementation for a variety of reasons, including the fact that these plans are clearly still being implemented at the time. So this is definitely one avenue that should be further pursued, seeing if this prioritization then is actually carried out in practice in the downstream in the policy cycle. And also something that we could further look into relates to geographical differences, as this is something that already emerged to an extent when doing this analysis, that some of the overall patterns may be driven predominantly by southern member states. And so this is another area that should be further pursued.
Perfect. Some tips for future research. And Mathilde, you mentioned these early stages of this plan. So did you find in your study, well, anything particularly intriguing or worthy of reflection after conducting the study? As, for example, I was surprised by this unexpected effectiveness of the RRF in promoting green policy. So what were your thoughts after conducting the study?
I mean, this is definitely an interesting element, but I wouldn't call it extremely unexpected, as some other research that has focused only on the green domain or on some specific member state had already indicated that indeed this element of conditionality and national ownership can be quite effective in some circumstances. One thing that I, in a way, did expect and was not necessarily confirmed is that we could see quite an important difference in the effectiveness of plans of this governance framework, depending on the size of the plans. So the reasoning would be that conditionality, if there are a lot of resources at stake, could be more of a priority, both from the EU perspective in looking more closely at these plans, but also from the member states that have more resources to lose out if they don't, in a way, comply with these. And this could be an element that is quite interesting to look further into. And the other surprise, in a way, is that the green dimension as the backing of a very stringent conditionality, which is a minimum amount of allocation that are to be devoted to this policy area. And this could be quite indicative of one of the reasons that that member states actually do give space to green priorities. But this is also the case for digital priorities as well. And we don't see the same kind of effectiveness in a way of bringing digital priorities forward. So this is also, in a way, quite interesting.
Okay. Good. We have a great episode at hand, but Mathilde, to close in a good way, if you had to sum up the episode in one or two sentences, so the punchline, what would it be?
We can say that one of the achievement of the RRF and the NRRPs has indeed been that of bringing green priorities to the forefront of the recovery. And in the second, let's say, snapshot that we can take away from this is that the governance innovations that were included in the RRF would be key in pairing resources that member states can use to invest and reform with common goals, such as indeed was the case with the NRRPs.
Perfect. Mathilde, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast is powered by Cogitatio Press. You can listen to this episode on the Let's Talk About Politics and Governance website, on Cogitatio Press YouTube channel, and whatever you get your podcast.